Father, I thank you because you are faithful. And though we may not always understand what you're doing, we know you're moving. Lord, you're taking us across. Lord, you're exiting one thing, but you're entering us into a new thing. And so, Father, we speak that you would do a new thing over this church, over these women. Father, I pray the roots of this ministry go deep, not in performance, but in revelation knowledge and in relationship with you. Lord, they would never put the work above being on their knees before you. And Lord, as they pray and as they intercede and as they seek your face, Father, I thank you right now that you're going to show them supernatural signs and wonders. And they will stand and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll lay hands on the demon possessed and they shall be set free. The tormented woman will be loosed in this house. So, Father, we thank you for this fresh anointing that you and only you can do. And so thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I always think we're going to do one thing and then we end up doing another. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I surrender myself to your voice, to your heartbeat. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Can I put this on here? Okay. I'm going to teach. I just feel like God's going to, let's just say tender to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 24. I want to show you this verse. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is speaking in this verse, Matthew 24. I'm going to look at verse 12 here. And I feel like there's this sense of a warning I want to share with you, a sense of an understanding. A lot of times as Christians, we want the feel good, the goosey bumps, you know. We want to walk away going, everything's going to be awesome and it's going to be okay. And it will be because God is sovereign, he's in control. But there is a reality, as Misty shared this morning, that we've got to press through. We've got to do some things. You know, we can't just let it all take place. But in this verse, when Jesus is speaking in Matthew 24 and verse 12, he's talking in these latter days and he says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And, you know, we're in a day where we are seeing, and in one of the other translations, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. Well, Jesus is talking about the church, and he's saying that in the days that we look at, there will be wickedness, and I don't know about you, but I see wickedness abounding all around. And he says, and the hearts of many will grow cold. That word he's referring to is like a waxing hard of the heart. It's like when you were a kid and you used to go to camp and you'd make candles and they'd put wax in a cup and it'd be warm and you would take a string and put it on a pencil and you'd dip it in, take it out. And then you'd wait till that hardened, you'd dip it in, you'd take it out. And if you do that enough times, then you would have a candle at the end of it. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. He's saying in the latter days, if we in the body of Christ are not careful, And if we allow ourselves to be introduced and put our guard down, we will find our hearts getting hard and waxing cold. And it's one dip at a time. It's one dip at a time. It's one situation. It's another situation. And if we do not stay in a position of keeping our heart soft and tender in the hands of the Lord, then we will allow our hearts to get hard. And he says, and those who endure to the end shall be saved. I'll just be honest. And whether you believe it or not, that's okay. But I think there's a lot of people in our churches today that if the rapture happened right now, they'd be still sitting in that pew. They'd be going like, I wonder what happened. Are they coming back? No, we're not. Until we come back with the Lord. And I believe there is a shaking going on in the church to get us back to the Word of God, because what softens our heart but the Word of God? I was talking to Theo earlier. She's a bit of a gardener. And I notice it too, because I hate to pull weeds. But the best time to pull a weed is after it rains, because it just comes out so easy, you know? But beforehand, when the ground is dry, it's like, this is a pain in the neck. I'm not even getting the roots, so I know next week it's going to be back. But yet, if the ground is soft, that root comes right out. And so what's the water represent in Scripture? The Word. And if we let the Word get in us, then it keeps our heart soft. That is why the devil does not want you to be in the Word of God. He doesn't want you to go to Bible study. He doesn't want you reading the Word. He's going to keep you so busy that you won't get the Word in, and then your heart begins to get cold, one dip at a time. One dip at a time. In the book of Amos, I've shared this before, but Amos is prophesying about the last days, and he's saying that there won't be a famine of bread and water in the last days. There'll be a famine of hearing the Word of God. And that word hearing in the Hebrew is talking about obedience. There is not an issue of hearing the Word of God today. You flip through Facebook and 20 people preaching the Word come up. The issue today is obeying what we know to be true. That's where our issue is. And God is calling us. I thank God for you ladies that you gave up your weekend where you could be doing 1,000 other things, but you pressed in, you gave up those things, and God is going to honor that because of your obedience. And you might even be sitting here thinking, I just want to be home, relaxing. That's okay. You just stay under the water of the Word. Just let it keep pouring out on you. In John 10:10, many of us know the verse, perhaps even memorized it. But the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and give you life more abundant. So what does he say? Jesus says that I want to put a backpack on you, and I want to put a reserve tank of life in you. So when you've poured out all that you have poured out, there's this abundance backpack that you just press a button and in kicks the backpack full of life. So while you're on the reserve tank, God is filling up the first tank. You know, I preach to myself all the time. How do you stay encouraged in the Word? You just got to preach to yourself. Remember cassette tapes for some of you? Yeah, okay. I remember I would sometimes, especially when I was just fired up, I'd prophesy. I would just speak the word of the Lord on that. So that when I got discouraged and when I was pulling the knife out of my back that had been placed there by some people, I would put that tape on and I'd listen to myself preach. And by the end of that tape, I was like, hallelujah, glory to God. That's right, Lord. I'm not listening to the lie of the enemy. I'm a child of the living God. And when he speaks, situations turn. And so when we look at this, though, Jesus is telling us the enemy comes for three things: to steal the blessings of God from us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal the blessings God has ordained for you in your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill you. Suicidal thoughts, devastating depression, paralyzing fear. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the plans that God has for you. And you say, well, you know, God's sovereign. It's just going to all work out. Okay. Remember yesterday? God finished creating everything he's going to create. Jesus completed the work on the cross. Now it's our responsibility to tap into the Spirit so it comes out in the natural. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, I've given you authority. And so we go to the Lord and say, Lord, rebuke them. And Jesus turns around and say, no, I don't have the authority to do that on earth. So I'm telling you, you have the authority to do it. You want that demon to go? You tell that demon to go. You want that situation to change? You tell it to change. Not in our flesh, but with the word of God. So wait a minute, I've got to be in the word to get a verse so that when I'm looking at a situation, I'm not fleshing it out, Patty. I'm giving that situation the word of the Lord. It says in Genesis that the Holy Spirit, he hovered over the earth waiting for the Father to speak. And when God spoke, then everything came into existence. And so when we speak the word of God, we are speaking just as Jesus, as the Father spoke in Genesis. God honors his word. So if we're saying his word, God's going, guys, we got to show up. Angels, let's go. We got to show up. Because I am not going to let my word be in vain or come back void. So he says, that's what the enemy's plan is for your life. Let me give you a couple of obstacles that I believe the enemy throws at us to keep us from our freedom. Number one, I call it stuck. We just get stuck. We're stuck, Pastor Richie said, stuck going around the same mountain, coming back around the same thing. Something happens in your life or in your past, and you won't let it go. And you're like, Pastor Patty, you don't get it. You have no idea what they did to me. I can't let it go. That's right. You're choosing not to let it go, but you can choose to let it go. And you know what? I may not understand what your specific situation was, but I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like to walk through grief. I know what it's like to walk through loneliness. I know what it's like to hurt and be angry and want to slap somebody silly. Those I know. So no, I may not know your specific situation, but I get where you've been. I have a dear friend, and she has a son she adopted. It's her nephew. And he's stuck. He grew up in a home. His mom was single when she had him. She was addicted to alcohol and drugs. And so this little boy grew up in an environment where men were in the house and out of the house and saw way too much, way too early. So all that stuff got stimulated in him. All that visual got stimulated in him at a young age. So my friend and her husband, very wealthy, godly Christian people, not labeled, they live it. They adopted him. He went to Calvary Baptist High School, had the best schools, went off to college, and decided he was homosexual. And he is not only living a gay lifestyle, but he's even gone further into the perversions of it. And it's such a lie, because I see and I know this young man, and I know all the things God wants to do in this kid's life. God has a future and a hope for him. This is the prodigal son, where this young man could walk into a career, a six-figure career. He could be mentored by his stepdad and have a wonderful future ahead of him. But the enemy came in and sold him a lie, and there he goes. And people say, well, you know, he's in bondage. Yes, but the enemy stole his life. And until he comes back, which he will in the name of Jesus. But that's what the enemy does. He just steals and he takes away. And we think, well, God's sovereign and, you know, it's just going to. No, we got to fight for it. Number two, I would say, is selfishness. It's an obstacle to our freedom. We just focus on ourselves. It's all about me. And we can tell when we're in that mode, because we say things like this. This isn't fair. It's not right. I don't deserve this. And we blame everyone else for the difficulties in our lives. If they weren't like that, then I wouldn't be like this. And we live in a culture that doesn't want to take any personal responsibility for behavior. And selfishness will just ensnare us from our freedom. Number three, I would say, is cycling. I call them the drama tights. They're the people that live life from one drama to the next drama to the next drama. And if something's going good in their life, they create a drama. Because that's how they get your attention. Because if they're not in a drama, then no one's paying attention to them. So they have to create it. They're always the ones that have to be rescued. Fear is number four. Fear of the unknown. Fearful of making changes. Fearful of not being in control. And really, fear is the result of not understanding the character of God. Because if we really understood his character, we wouldn't feel out of control. We wouldn't fear. Because if we're pressing into him, he's going to take care of everything. And the last one I just want to share with you is unforgiveness. We want people to pay for what they've done to us. We want to hold them accountable for the things that they've done. And so we want to hold them captive in our heart and in our mind, when in all reality they've moved on and we're the ones captive, right? We drink the poison, expect them to die, right? So let me give you a definition of biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And it's done in faith before God, where we give up our right to hold them accountable for what they've done to us or to someone they love. Because maybe you're not messing with me, but you're messing with my son. And my mama claws come out. Don't mess with my baby. So it can be someone we love that is hurt, and we can easily pick up that offense. And I want you to hear that, because we're going to do an activity in a little bit. And if there's anyone that comes to mind right now, or a name, it's because the Lord wants us to be able to let them go. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's done in faith before God. We have to trust God with the outcome of it. I got to give up my right to hold them accountable, because if really Jesus is Lord of my life, I don't have any rights. He owns me. So I have to give up the perceived or the perception that I have rights. Like, I have a right that they pay me back. No. I have a right for them to apologize. No. Reality is they probably won't. And if you're waiting for an apology from someone, don't hold your breath. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's a choice. I give up my right to hold another person accountable for the wrong they've done. You know, one of the things that I think is really important is the most important opinion in your life is your opinion of yourself. Some people say, well, it's more important of what God says about you. Yeah, but if you don't believe it, it's on deaf ears. What's the opinion you have of yourself? Solomon says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks, so he is. So what's going on in that pretty little mind of yours? What do you believe about yourself? What has the enemy lied to you about that has kept you captive to things that aren't even true? What is the opinion you have of yourself? Because that's what's going to rule your heart. Let's look at Numbers 13. Numbers 13. This is when Moses is sending the spies out. And I shared this a couple of weeks ago at church, a little portion of this. But this is when Moses is sending the spies out to the promised land. Now, let's look at the text and remember what we shared last night. In Numbers 13 and verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Okay, so what's the word from God? You're getting the land. I've given you this land. You're just going to go spy it out. But the word is, you will take possession of it. See, before we ever walk through something, God gives us a word. We may or may not hear it. If our ear is in tune, if we're in the right place with God, we'll hear what's getting ready to happen. But if we're not walking in the tenderness of God, God is speaking it, but our ear is deaf to it. And so he picks the key men. He picks one man from each tribe of Israel. So it's the leaders of the leader of Israel. And so Moses picks these 12 out, and he sends Joshua and Caleb along with them over to the other side. It says in verse 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south. And then he gives them directions of what to go. Now, what is Moses' instructions to them? Go and spy out the land of Canaan. They go. He didn't ask for a report. He said, just go spy it out. Go check it out. And so we look that they go over to the land. In verse 23, it says, then they came to the valley of Eshcol. And there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. Like, I don't know about you, but when you go to Publix and you pick up that little bag of grapes, you can pick it up with your pinky, can't you? Okay, these dudes went over to a grapevine and cut the grapevine, and the grapes and the vine were so big and so heavy They had to put it on a pole, and two men carried it. That's the kind of thing God has for us. That's the land he's giving us. Not Publix grapes. He's giving us exceedingly, abundantly above. That's what he has for us. He's not saying it's easy, but he's saying it's prosperous if you're willing to walk there. And so they spy out the land after 40 days. Now, these guys are in this land 40 days. That's a long time, 40 days. They're checking out the cities, and they're realizing that there's giants in the land. So they're hiding from the giants, but they're gone for 40 days. And then we see they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So all of Israel's gathered together. These guys, 12 of them, come back and like, dude, look at these grapes. Look at these pomegranates. Like, you can eat a week off of this one pomegranate. He says, it's incredible, the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, this is the spies talking to Moses, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly is flowing with milk and honey, and its fruit. And this is its fruit. And what's the next word? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified. They're large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, the Amalekites that dwell in land. Those were giants. Now, they didn't have any interaction with the giants. They just saw them. Never talked with them. Never interacted with them. They just saw the giants. We go down to verse, whatever that is. When Caleb quieted the people before Moses, he said, I love the courage here. Now, they just finished getting this really bad report. And in the midst of all the negativity, Caleb gets up. He goes, shh, be quiet. Be quiet. Just sit still. And this is what he says. Let us go up at once and take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go against these people. They're stronger. They're more than us. And they began, and all these other leaders are now back in their groups. So here's Caleb in front of everybody saying, we can do this. But yet backbiting behind him are all these so-called leaders sending this negative message to the rest of the people. You ever have somebody behind your back give a negative report, but in your face, they're standing with you? He says, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its habitats. This is what they're saying. And the people whom we saw in it, those men are of great stature. There we saw the giants of the descendants of Anak. They came from the giants. Now look at this. This is the whole key of this chapter. Now, this is the men that are talking, not Caleb. He says, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. What was their opinion of themselves? We're grasshoppers. We can't do this. Who told you that? It's what they believed about themselves. And they not only believed that about themselves, but what they did was they reflected what they believed about themselves onto the giants who they never spoke with and said, they think that about us too. How do you know that? You never talked to them. But isn't that what we do? When we're feeling insecure and we walk in the room and everyone stops talking, they must be talking about me. I wonder what they're saying about me. Because of our insecurity, we push that off on everyone else. We assume we know everyone's motive. You don't know anyone's motive. We can't say, I knew you did that and this is why you did it. You don't know that because you don't know their motive. But that's where the enemy wants to keep us. So let me ask you something. How do you see yourself? I want you to get a piece of paper out. This is going to be something we just do. No one's going to see it but you. If you don't have paper, I have paper. So raise your hand. I'll get you a piece of paper. Everybody got paper? Cool. I want you to write down three words on that piece of paper of what you think about yourself. What do you think about yourself? Just three words. And be honest. No one's going to see it. Then I want you to write one sentence on what you think your purpose is. Just one sentence. My purpose is. And you can fold that. You can keep it aside if you want to. How many of you have a junk drawer in your kitchen? You know that drawer? Everything goes in there. So I'm sitting at the counter one day with my son, and I empty out the drawer, and we're going through it, and he's helping me throw things away. And Pastor Richie, can you put that picture I sent to you? So he took this object that was there, and he threw it away. And I said, why did you do that? He goes, well, I don't even know what it is. It's just this really tiny piece of tin. It's like junk. And I'm like, no, we want that. Get it out of the garbage. He goes, Mom, I'm calling that hoarder show on you. We do not need that piece of tin. I said, no, you're going to want that piece of tin. He goes, it's stupid. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into the sewing box. I want you to get a needle. And I want you to get a thread. I want you to come back, and I want you to thread that needle. So he started threading it, and it wouldn't work. I said, okay, now, does anybody know what this is? It's a needle threader. So what you do is you take the thread, and you put it through that little wire at the bottom, and then you put the wire through the hole in the needle, and in one shot, you get it. He goes, cool. As he's... When you don't understand the purpose of something, we often discard it and abuse it. And if we don't understand our purpose, what do you think we do? Yep. We allow someone to abuse us. We abuse ourselves. And we discard a lot of things. See, because when we understand our purpose, then we have these God moments. God sets up these God moments in our life. And they're supernatural moments of grace that he breaks forth the laws of this earth. And he breaks into our lives. And he sets up these supernatural encounters. You know those encounters you have with God where you can remember what you were wearing? Those encounters with God where you can remember where you were when he spoke that. See, that's a supernatural encounter with God. And if you've never had that, then I would encourage you to ask God for them, because you don't understand the love of the Father. Because I think God wants us to have those moments a lot more than we do. Because it's in those moments there is a transformation that takes place in our hearts that years of counseling could not help. A praise service wouldn't do it. But one touch from God and your life's changed. See, when you're walking with God and really pressing into Him and you're sitting in His presence and He's setting up those God moments with you, then you'll always be where you need to be when you need to be where you need to be. Just think, yesterday when we were talking about the disciples and they got to the water's edge and Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. He took a handful of disciples with him, just three or four. How many disciples were there? Where were the other guys? See, they missed a God moment because they weren't in line with what God was doing. And so when they got to the edge of the water and the disciples that were there got in the boat, they had the encounter with God. They not only had the encounter with God, but they got to the other side. But there were other disciples that I believe Jesus wanted in that boat with him. But because they weren't where they needed to be, God kept moving. Because God is a God of exits and transitions and entrances. God exits us from one thing to bring us into another so that we can possess the next thing. See, those God moments, they thrust us into the next thing God has for us. But if we're busy in life, we miss those moments. Think about Jairus for a moment. When he had the belief that Jesus would come and that Jesus was going to heal his daughter. And then the woman with the issue of blood steps in. So in his head, he's like, does he have enough power to do more miracles, right? We talked about that. And Jairus was able to get on the other side of that because then Jesus kept following him. So his faith was starting to increase again because Jesus was coming. But then what happened then? The guy from his house came up and said, don't bother this teacher any longer. Your daughter's dead. And see, had Jairus not been where he needed to be, which was right next to Jesus, because Jesus said, as soon as he heard the report from the guy, he turned to Jairus and said, Jairus, just believe. And Jairus, what really took place supernaturally was Jairus was able to stay in faith and not lose what God had spoken to him. Because Jairus at that moment could have said, she's dead. Now what? I thought you were going to come. I thought you were going to do what you said you were going to do. You ever do that to Jesus? I thought you were going to do what you said you were going to do. So I stepped out in faith and you didn't show up. And God said, maybe I'm not done yet. Hold your horses. Because when we're not in control, we start to tell God what to do. I love that with Mary and Martha. You know, Martha comes out of the kitchen. Jesus. Can you imagine Martha getting up in Jesus' grill? Like, Jesus, you tell her to help me. Like, I'm in the kitchen all by myself slaving, and she's out here wiping your feet. Like, what is up with that, Jesus? Like, deal with her. Can you imagine doing that to Jesus? He'd be like, girlfriend, we need deliverance service right now. It's so important to be where God wants us to be when he wants to do what he wants to do. Think about Noah. God says, build a boat. Noah never saw rain. It never rained. Build a boat. Okay. Here's the dimensions. Okay. So he starts building this boat. And everybody's walking by going, you're a fool. You're an idiot. You look so stupid. He kept building. And that tells us scripturally God brought the animals. Noah and his family went in. And it says God shut the ark. Noah didn't even shut the ark. God did. God shut the ark. And the rain came. And everyone that mocked him, everyone made fun of him because he was running after God and they weren't. 40 days later, that boat rested. Noah and his family got out of that boat. And they were the only family that survived. Let the naysayers say what the naysayers want to say. You run after God. Because if you run after God, you'll never lose. You'll never lose. So what's holding you back? What's God been stirring in your heart? What's he been speaking to you about? Because part of what needs to be stirred in us this weekend is our faith. We kind of have to see God from a different angle. Every individual we talk about in Scripture, they had to choose faith over their fears. They had to choose faith over their insecurity. They had to choose truth over lies. They had to know God's word over the unknown. Because Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Here's the thing, ladies. God is not wanting your life to be all secure and pretty and organized. He wants you to be like those ladies pulling each other out of the mud. Because living in faith is living out of my control, but in him. So if I'm going to live in faith, I'm not in control. And especially as women, we love security. God, it's one of our innate natures is to like secure. Like I want all my babies in the house. I want everything nice. I want dinner on the table. You know, we want everything organized and nice. And God says life just isn't that way sometimes. And we want it nice because we're in control. But a real life of faith looks real messy, but it's totally in God's control. So let me ask you, what's the Lord asking you to leave behind this weekend?